I decided to call a few of the funeral homes to see how their experience with 2020 was compared to the previous years.
Homeowner speaking.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
I have a question for you. I'm just trying to find out some information for myself for COVID and what's going on. I don't know if you're able to answer this. If not, that's totally fine. Did you guys find that you guys were a lot more overwhelmed in 2020 than the years prior? Like, did you see a huge influx?
Influx of what?
Funerals.
Not really.
Rob, funeral home.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I have a question for you, and I'm not sure if you're able to answer it, and if you're not, that's quite all right. I'm just trying to find some research on my own. Did you guys find that in the year 2020, you were swamped with funerals more so than the years prior, or did it seem about the same?
May I ask for what for, the information?
I'm just trying to find out facts and information for myself.
Both the same.
McCormick Funeral Home, Cameron speaking.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
I have a question for you. Don't feel obligated to answer. If you don't want to, that's quite all right. I'm just calling to kind of do some research for myself regarding COVID. And my question is, did you guys find that you were overwhelmed and had a huge influx of funerals in the year 2020 than the years prior? Or did it seem kind of in line, like the same with the other years?
In line.
This time I called funeral homes in London, Ontario. They have just over 400,000 people to see what the difference was between 2020 and the previous years.
Donahue Funeral Home.
Hi, how are you?
Good, yourself?
Good, thank you. I'm sorry to bother you. I just have a question for you. I'm trying to find out some research on my own regarding COVID, and I kind of like to go straight to the source. And my question, and if you don't want to answer, that's completely fine too. My question for you is, did you guys find like a huge influx of funerals in the year 2020 than the years prior, or did it kind of seem in line with the population?
No, it was the same.
It was
the
same?
There was no increase, no.
Okay.
Westview Funeral Chapel, Miranda speaking.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm sorry to bother you.
No.
I have a question for you. I'm trying to do some research on COVID, and I'd like to go straight to the source. If you don't feel comfortable answering, that's completely fine. My question for you is, did you guys find that in the year 2020, you had a huge influx of funerals compared to the years prior, or did it seem in line in what was expected?
I would say in line.
Yeah.
O'Neill Funeral, speaking.
Hi, how are you?
Not bad, yourself?
I'm good, thank you. I have a question for you. I'm trying to do some research just for my own self regarding COVID, and I'd like to go straight to the source. If you don't feel comfortable answering my question, that's quite all right. My question for you is, did you find that in the year 2020, there was a lot more funerals and a huge influx of funerals than you had in the previous year, or did it seem kind of in line with the previous years?
It was pretty much in line.
Yeah.
I decided to call a few places in Toronto. You would think that it being the biggest city in Canada and the fourth largest in North America with a population of 6.2 million, that they would have had an astronomical surge during this global pandemic.
Cardinal Funeral Home, Kim speaking. How may I help you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm sorry to bother you. I'm calling regarding a COVID question. I'm trying to do some research for myself. I don't work for anyone. If you don't feel comfortable answering the question, that's quite all right. My question for you is, did you find that in the year 2020, you had a huge influx of funerals compared to the previous years, or was it kind of in line with the previous years?
Yeah, no, there was a slight increase, but nothing too out of the ordinary, we would say.
Okay, thank
you. Edgerton Funeral Services, how may I help you?
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
Regarding COVID, and if you don't feel comfortable answering the question, that's quite all right.
Yeah.
I'm just doing some research for myself, and I'm just wondering, in the year 2020, did you guys see a huge influx in your funeral services compared to the years prior, or was it kind of in line with the years prior?
No, in line pretty well.
Thank you for calling Charles Funeral Home. Karen speaking.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. I've got a question for you regarding COVID, and if you don't feel comfortable answering the question, that's fine. I just kind of want to go straight to the source for an answer on this. Did you guys find that in the year 2020 you had a huge influx in funerals, or did you feel like it was kind of in line with the years prior?
No, everything was the same.
Everything was the same?
Yep.
Okay.
I called a couple more funeral homes today. I decided let's branch outside of Ontario, so I just thought of Winnipeg. They have a population of 750,000 people. You would think that a year into a global pandemic, everything we've been hearing and seeing is that people are dying by the hundreds. We need to do everything we can to save people because it's out of control. Where so many people are dying. Well, I made a couple phone calls, and let's see. Did the funeral homes have more business during 2020 than the previous years?
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
I've got a question for you. I'm trying to do some research for myself. I'm not a reporter. I don't work for anyone. And if you don't feel comfortable answering, that's quite all right. My question for you is, did you find that in the year 2020, there was a huge influx of funerals, or did you find that it was pretty much in line with the previous years?
Yeah, I would think that it was pretty much in line.
Yeah. Okay.
Jump or anything like they everyone expected sort of thing, so.
Right. Yeah, that's why I'm calling, just to see what the funeral homes are saying, so to get my own research on that. So, well, I appreciate your time.
Yeah.
And for answering, and I hope you have a great day.
All right, you too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Family owned, the chapel has a full complement of caring staff that includes 9 licensed funeral directors to serve you and your family in your time of need.
Hi, this is Lee speaking. Can I help you?
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. You?
I'm great, thank you for asking. I've got a question for you, and I don't work for anyone. I'm not a reporter. I'm just calling for myself to get some information. If you don't feel comfortable answering, that's quite all right. My question for you is, did you find that in the year 2020, last year, was there a huge increase in funerals, or did you find that it was pretty much in line with the previous years?
I would say it's probably in line with previous years.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate you taking the time to answer my question. And yeah, I just want to find out the truth for myself. So
you're worried about the COVID numbers and where they're really at?
Yeah. Just because, you know, on the mainstream media, you hear that people are dying by the hundreds, and I'm just not in real life. I'm not seeing it. So I feel like we are being lied to.
keep questioning everything.
Well, thank you so much.
You're on the right track.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're
I appreciate
welcome.
That. And you have a great day.
You too.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye. There you have it. You are being lied to. Your government, the politicians, the medical doctors that aren't censored, they are all lying to you. I'm telling you this. You are being lied to. We are not in a pandemic where we have seen deaths spike through the roof. Look at my other video. I compare the deaths in 2020 to the previous years. Turn off your TV and go live your life.
They overworked you inside there, man?
It's bad?
It's not as bad as you think.
It's not as bad as I think?
Yeah. It's strange. I don't want to say one way or another, but...
But I see on TV that, you know, it's chaos.
You know, everything you see on TV, someone
pays. I'm going to switch it up. Because I come here and everything is normal.
I run the trauma center down at Kings County. The deaths that we're seeing, everybody who dies has coronavirus on their death certificate. Everybody who ends up having anything wrong has coronavirus on their death certificate. And they're bringing in a bunch of people from out of town. You have doctors coming in from Nebraska who don't know what the hell they're doing. A lot of people die because of that. I don't know if it's coronavirus or if it's just a breakdown of the health system and we finally scared ourselves to shitless. It's very bizarre and I don't want to comment on it.
Man, keep yourself safe. You sound like you have a good head.
I'd just like to welcome John here. He's a funeral director, and John has been on the front lines the past year dealing with COVID-19 and dealing with the deaths that come along with it. And we're going to get John's perspective on the front lines, on what's been happening there and what's really going on under the microscope that the mainstream media won't cover. Well, thank you, John, for coming on and speaking with us. It's a great pleasure to talk with you. And you're being so brave and coming forward in speaking out. And, you know, if you can tell us what you do and how long you're doing it, and we'll take it from there.
Well, I'm a UK-based funeral director. I've been a funeral director for about 15 years now. So I've been in the trade a fair while. What else can I tell you?
Yeah. You've been quite a long time at your job. And it's a great honourable job too, you know, and in what I've been reading about you, you have great respect in the work that you do. And how would you find the difference between since COVID-19 first came in and the death alarm was ringing and everybody was in such a panic? How was things for you? How were you coping?
Well, to be honest with you, I think like everyone else, when it first came along was actually in November of 2019. I had a family come to me who they'd lost a loved one in a kind of a neighbouring borough and wanted to come and see their loved one, and I kind of informed them that the hospital does viewings, and they told me no, they weren't doing viewings. So I kind of said, okay, let me move quickly, I'll go to the hospital and pick up your loved one, and so you can do a viewing at my funeral home. So I went to the hospital and kind of said, look, I understand that you've not let this family view, why is that? And they kind of opened the viewing room and there was an isolation tent in there, and said, this is why, and there's something nasty coming in. That was back in November of 2019. So I had an idea something was happening then. And much like everyone else, do you know, you kind of believe the story you told, don't you? And I was dreading it.
Because
there I, you know, I'm in my 50s. I've got a little bit of blood pressure. I'm asthmatic myself. So I was kind of expecting to fall over. This dreaded COVID. But to be honest with you, the death rate hasn't been any higher than it is any other year. I mean, it's seasonal work anyway. So in the winter, it's always busy with winter flu, you know, and your body's got a threshold it can tolerate. So if you're in your 80s and you've got COPD and a heart condition and you get a really bad winter flu, the likelihood is that you're probably going to succumb to that.
Yeah.
So, you know, the death rate does go higher in the winter and it eases off in the summer. Extremes. So if it's really hot in the summer, that's an extreme, then the death rate will pick.
So, and in your line of work, you'd understand this, you know, because you'd see the rise go up and down in these seasonal things.
It's all about, I mean, if you log on to the website of any crematorium locally to you, quite often they'll have a diary which will show the bookings, and anyone can kind of log on and they'll see there's hardly anyone passing away at the moment. There's plenty of availability to get into those crematoriums because the death rate's very low.
Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of shocking to hear this because, you know, the mainstream media have been putting out so many numbers and so many deaths that, we're expecting a really high capacity in these places. And it turns out that they're not, you know, the hospitals have been empty, the funeral homes are now empty. And, you know, is there a lot of money being generated around this then?
Well, to be honest with you, I found that the death rate wasn't any more than any other year last year. In fact, it was probably a little bit quieter than 2019.
Yeah.
When I found that the death rate did soar in January, February and March this year, and that immediately preceded when they began vaccinating. In fact, it was so quiet in November, December, before Christmas, a lot of my colleagues were turning their fridges off. That's the reality. I mean, ultimately, I don't possess a laboratory.
Yeah.
I can speak for what goes on in my area, but certainly Bedford, Hertfordshire and Buckinghamshire, the people were turning their fridges off because there wasn't anyone to put in. And then we went away for Christmas. It was quiet over Christmas. We came back in January. They began vaccinating on January the 6th. and I've never known a death rate like it in 15 years. Was so, that coincidence? You know, you tell me.
So has the pandemic started since the vaccine, basically? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's the only time that the hospital had rung me up and begged me to pick up deceased. Yeah. You know, and that's the only time we were run off my feet and I was having to turn people away. Any other time than January, February and March of this year, I didn't see anything that would lead me to suggest there was a pandemic. January and February and March of this year, yes, there certainly was. And that was when they began vaccinating, you know. So is there a link there? You tell me.
Well, this is it. You know, if you know, you're a funeral director, you can see that the deaths that went out that was just normal for the past year through COVID since November. And then when we come into January, when the vaccine is starting to be rolled out, and it's not a vaccine, it's a genetical... yeah, you know. And what it's doing to people, like 1 in 3 people are getting injured from these and they're dying. I know already 2 people personally who have died from the COVID vaccine. And yeah. I know another guy, his wife, his mother died, and the doctor's basically telling them that there's hundreds of people coming in with this, you know, with the reactions.
I totally agree. I've seen people come through the business who've passed away not long after having a COVID vaccine. The trouble is, it's one of those things they openly said, didn't they? It was only, oh, they're only 60% or 70% effective. So that kind of leaves the door open for someone to pass away and it be quickly swept under the carpet as a COVID death. That's the reality, you know.
Yeah.
If they said it's 100% successful, then of course it would be a lot more inviting to have that vaccine, but they're not. They're openly saying it won't work for 1 person in 3.
No.
So why the push for everyone to have it then? You know, it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, and you know, and it's all part of this the agenda that they've been rolling out quite a long time now for depopulation. And, you know, Bill Gates said it himself, you know, if we do things right and we roll out vaccines, we can depopulate. And here we are today, you know, and it's a life or death situation that we're in right now. And, you know, this information, if people are hearing this information, this can help them to save a life. Because, you know, the vaccines are hurting 1 in 3 people. How many's in your family? You know, you're nearly guaranteed someone in your family to have a reaction which can possibly lead to blood clots, to complete organ failure and to your death. You know, and this is what's happening.
I'll tell you an interesting story. So last year I did a funeral for a senior health professional. Obviously I'm not going to name him or say any more than that. I got quite close to him because I looked after his family very well. And I took the time to message him and ask him what he thought of the COVID vaccines. And he replied saying that he would call me later. And I kind of thought, well, that's a bit strange. Because obviously, you know, this is a man that I message regularly during the course of my work, arranging things. And he called me via an encrypted WhatsApp call later that night while I was out walking the dog with my wife. And I had him on loudspeaker, so she heard the entire conversation. And he said to me, under no circumstances, touch it. No circumstances at all. So what happened was the government was so desperate to get the economy back on track that they rushed these vaccines through. And the pharmaceutical companies insisted that waivers be signed for any adverse effects or deaths as a result of taking these vaccines.
Yeah.
And it obviously unsettled the government, and they in turn consulted their plethora of expertise, and this is the NHS consultants, and he was one of those consultants, and they told the government under no circumstances should they use it. You know, it's dangerous, it's not been tested, it's something that's never been used before, because you're correct in saying it is a gene therapy, and they still signed all the waivers, you know.
And that's it, you signed your life away, you know. And Once the toothpaste is out of the tube, you know, it's the same type of thing. Once that vaccine is in, it's not coming out, you know, and it's only the start. It's only the, like, 2 vaccines. Like, that's what they're saying now, but I think it'll work out at something like 46 vaccines, you know.
An Eastern variant and then a Pakistani variant.
Yeah.
And they'll never stop rolling them out. So the agenda for me now is clear, and this I would hasten to add, this is not something I'm not really into conspiracy theories. This is an opinion that I've formed over 14, 15 months.
Yeah.
The death rate wasn't any higher. It wasn't there. And I mean, if anyone wants to contact their local authority under the Freedom of Information Act, the vast majority of funerals that are carried out are cremations. So if you find out how many cremations were done in your area and compare that year on year on year, there are no extra deaths that are happening.
There's no pandemic. There's no...
in this, you know?
Yeah.
So that tells the story.
Yeah. And, you know, what also tells the story is that, you know, since, like we were talking about, since January, since the vaccine rollout came in, the big spike that you're seeing, and like you're seeing this, you're on the front line, and you know, you see the difference between this year and last year through the body count, you know, and this is what's the most alarming, because, you know, they're gonna, like you're saying, blame it on a new variant, and you know.
What you find is this winter, you've got a lot of people now who've gonna have compromised immune systems,
yeah,
due to these things, and they will be pointing the finger at the people that don't want to take the vaccine, saying we're to blame.
Oh, yeah, they will. They will. They've got every angle covered at this rate, they do. But, you know, it's all about getting these facts out to people, you know, and when people have to come to their own conclusions then and understand what's really kind of going on, because we are being culled, you know. We're under the hammer over here in Ireland, and I know yous are over under the hammer over there too. It's pretty rough all over the world right now, and it's all vaccines are go, you know.
The scenario and a lot of people start dying, there's naturally going to be a lot of panic. They're then going to point the finger at us, and people are going to believe it.
Yeah.
People are going to they're going to try and increase the pressure, I think, hard enough to try and legislate. Now, whether that'll end up going down the road of snatch squads coming into your houses and forcefully injecting you, I can only imagine. I could see things going down that path eventually. If the death rate was high enough and they were blaming us, who's to say, you know, how can anyone prove and say it isn't us? But I think you'll see people that have had vaccines drop in this winter.
Oh, I'm already seeing it. And that's why, you know, I'm trying to shout it from the rooftop. And what I'm seeing, the people that's coming forward to me, just like yourself, with their experiences and testimonies and trauma and what they're going through is unbelievable, and it's all being brought upon us. You know, it's not a virus. It's the government is the virus. The fake news media is the virus.
100%. I'm much more frightened of the vaccine, the gene therapy, than I am of COVID.
Oh, 100%, 100%. You know, I don't want it anywhere near me or my family or my friends and all my loved ones. You know, and that's all I get to hear. You know, every day I'm hearing someone that I'm close to kind of taking the vaccine. I'm like, you give them all the information in the world, and this.
It's almost like they're rabbits in the headlights.
Yeah, you know, they're all suffering from Stockholm syndrome. They all just want more, you know, and it's a really crazy time.
The other thing that alarms me is the total lack of anyone wishing to engage with any discussion about this. Why don't they want to discuss it?
Yeah.
Surely, you know, in a democracy, if there is some cause for discussion or concern, these concerns should be addressed. You know, why have they not said that we've signed waivers for all the pharmaceutical companies? The FDA in America isn't licensed.
Yeah.
It's authorized for emergency use. That's not a license.
No, it's not.
You know, it staggers me, not so much that they're doing it, because I expect this kind of barbaric, inhumane behaviour from the elite, but I'm really shocked and surprised at how gullible people are.
Yeah, yeah, they've really fallen for it. Like, you know, I was always, you know, I've always been into a lot of research. I knew this was coming down the line. I never did fall for it, but I could understand why people were falling for it when I was watching them running around for their tissues and stuff. But I was thinking, give them a little time, you know, give people a little time and they'll wake up. Now, I have to say, a lot of people are waking up, but the majority is still just, you know, they're fast asleep. They're not seeing what's right in front of their face.
I think they're moving so quickly now, even if they wake up, it's too late. If you've had a couple of these vaccines, you've got it in you, you know.
You do. Yeah, you've got it in you, and you're not going to stop taking it because, you know, you know, I was the first person taken off a bus in Ireland and arrested because I can't wear a mask. And I've been in and out of the courts the past couple of months fighting these cases, and they're kind of high public cases over here. But yeah, you can see how people are taking the compromise bit by bit, you know. They're taking the compromise, they wear their masks, they do what they're told. And all these compromises have just led them to a queue of taking a vaccine.
Yeah, it's just a little bit at a time. If you take small steps, small steps. And also, I think that it's the old saying, divide and conquer. Do you know the BLM thing? Dividing, splitting us all up because we're easier to conquer.
Yeah, yeah. And that's exactly what they've done a really good job on that with all the division that's been going on. Yeah, you know,
and that's exactly what we want, because if we're all united and voicing the same concern,
exactly,
it's a lot harder for them to get that vaccine into everyone, isn't it?
But it really is.
That's
exactly what they're trying to do, you know, and that's, you know, one of the missions I've been on around this country the past couple of weeks is about uniting the tribes and trying to get unity, because, you know, we're stronger in our numbers, you know, and it's the only way we'll get change is if we have to get up off our knees from the government and start standing up to them, you know, and that's the only way we're going to get change.
Now, kind of moving forward, how hard they're going to push us to have a vaccine? Will there come a turning point when they say, okay, you don't want it, that's it?
Well, they have a whole, you know, they reckon they'll have the whole world vaccinated by 2030. They have a whole agenda set up for this. Like, this is really just the start of it. You know, they're only starting to implement it, but it's going to be, it's the long-term plan that they have. And they'll come up with some other virus in 2025, and it'll be an even harder lockdown than ever, you know, and they'll come up with, they'll have some miracle vaccine ready within 6 months for it, you know.
Of course they will, they've been working on it for things for decades.
I mean,
when you look back in the 40s, they had gas chambers, they don't do that now, they just tell you you're sick and give you an injection that makes you sick.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
And I kind of would have never thought of that, I would have never believed that before I've gone through what I've been through as a funeral director. I mean, interestingly, you know, I have a pandemic guy that rings me up every Monday. And he asked me a number of questions, and he started around how many new ones have you had in, where have they come from, how many are COVID deaths? And I kind of said, do you know what, I've had two guys here in the 90s, straightforward old age deaths. Ah, but didn't that care home have COVID in it? Didn't that ward have COVID in it? All desperately trying to deliberately inflate numbers.
So they're deliberately trying to direct everything towards COVID.
Well, do you know what, I've got to know this guy, because I speak to him every week over a number of months. And in the end, he actually said to me, he said, I don't know why I'm doing this job. He said, because there are no COVID deaths. That's come from the guy who's ringing all the funeral directors. So you tell me, do you know?
Yeah.
And he said that to me personally. So, you know, it kind of, I mean, I was hearing stories of premiums being paid to health authorities as well for every COVID death. How true that is, I don't know. Could I prove it? Probably not, but I heard talk of it. So as a result, I've had a lot of angry families coming in, stroke patients, cancer patients,
right,
where, you know, they've had COVID put on the death certificate. And usually the angle they do is near the end of life care, they're going to hospital. Well, they're testing them for COVID in hospital and all. Coincidence, they caught COVID in hospital. So COVID goes on the death certificate.
That's it.
When they return, do you know? So it's and these families are very, very angry and very frightened, because they think then I won't wash and dress their loved one. Well, I have. I've washed and dressed every of them, every one of them, at a time when other funeral directors were just taking body bags and coffins to the hospital. Why? Because of COVID. And why? Because they can. They can get away with doing it, do you know? And they can call it a COVID death. Oh, we haven't got to do anything because it's COVID. They still take the same money. They don't charge after money for after service.
Right.
Do you know?
So they're doing half the work and still getting the full pay.
Well, when you think about it, if I collect a deceased from a hospital and I take that deceased, wash, dress, embalm perhaps, in coffin them, accommodate families for a visit and stuff. It's all work. If I just go down to the hospital with a coffin, what work is there involved in that? And they're doing a fraction of the work for the same money.
You're just a driver then, really, you know?
I'm saying, you know what, because of COVID, we can't do half of the service we would usually provide. It's half the cost.
Yeah.
So naturally, you're not going to get many funeral directors really come out and be very outspoken about it and be very honest, perhaps. But that has been my experience. The death rate just wasn't there. I saw great efforts made to inflate the death numbers, and I've washed and dressed every COVID deceased, and I'm still standing.
Yeah, well, fair play to you, you know, and fair play to you for coming out, raising the alarm for what's to come and seeing things from, especially your point of view, you know, because you really are on the front line. There's no further front line there than taking care of the dead, you know, and
well,
especially...
if one testimony saves one life, because one person says, hang on a minute, yeah. You know, I've got, if there was a deadly pandemic out there, I would be the first to know, and I'd be the first one.
You would
say, please be careful, you know. And initially, I was certainly on that. You know, I'm thinking, I've deceased there, tell me I've died from COVID, of course. But interestingly, you know, every year there are a number of winter flu deaths. This year, there's not been a single winter flu death.
Not one single one. Isn't it amazing?
Yeah,
and they're trying to say masks are doing that.
Masks are rubbish.
I have all the evidence. And I've sent in all the evidence. They have all the evidence. They know masks don't work. So they told us at the start masks don't work. You know, it's all about control. It's all about being submissive and pitting us against each other at the same time.
Well, and it's all geared up to getting you to take a gene therapy.
That's exactly it. You know, if you wear the mask, you'll take the vax. You know, and that's the way I see it. You know, I haven't worn a mask yet. And I know by not wearing the mask and by being strong that way, it's making me stronger to not take the vaccine. You know, if I compromise that one little bit, I say to myself, no, I'll compromise with the vaccine then. I've got to learn now.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what? There's no need. Not going to save you. And for them to openly tout a vaccine that they're openly saying is 60% effective, it's not 60% effective. I'd suggest it's 67% safe.
Yeah, well...
You know, that's the chilling one for me, where all these people are falling ill and falling over and they don't know what's going to happen. I wonder if that number was generated by saying, look, this is the failure rate of this, rather than this is the effectiveness rate. How can you say a vaccine is 67% effective? It's ridiculous.
I mean, our immune system is 99.9%, you know, fights against all viruses, doesn't need any tinkering around with or anything, you know, and it's good to go. So,
I trust my immune system far more than I would something Bill Gates has knocked out.
Exactly, yeah. And we all know where the Bill Gates is heading now these days. I think he's on the flight list for Epstein.
Of course he is.
You know, and everything that he's trying to do. How people are listening to these guys is unbelievable. It's like a sci-fi movie that we've just woken up into.
You wouldn't believe it. If you could rewind 2 years, you would watch it on television. Think, wasn't that a brilliant film?
You wouldn't. But it's become such a reality because, like, for the past year, we haven't seen the deaths, but now we are starting. And we know it, but we see it's coming from the vaccine, which is even... more scary because they've been talking about the depopulation and, you know, they're coming after our kids, you know. This let's make no bones about it. They are coming after our kids at the youngest age.
I've got a son and I've told him if the moment they come near your school, just leave the school, run out the school, come home.
Yeah, that's it. Just run straight home.
They're not testing him and they're not vaccinating him. That's it. An interesting one is... you should write to your school refusing consent as well.
Yeah, 100%. Refuse consent at every possible way you can, you know, and let them know that you're not taking the vaccine and either comes
well,
near one of my kids' vaccine.
To my knowledge, there's not a single child that's died. I heard of two deaths. One was a heart-lung transplant recipient and the other one was cystic fibrosis. Both contracted COVID in hospital. So there are no deaths with children from COVID. So there's no need for any of them to have any kind of gene therapy. So refuse it.
Yeah, exactly. Well said. Well, on that note, I just want to say again, John, thanks so much for coming forward with this information. It really will help people.
Thank you for the time to listen because I've felt very, very lonely for a long time as this feeling has been creeping up, as the evidence has been growing and up. It's very refreshing and very heartening.
It is. The truth is bringing us all together. You know, it really is. You know, even though through that division, we're finding people who had seen the truth and trying to live it, basically. And it is bringing us together. And that's why I'd like to say for anybody who's listening to this and that has a story like this, you know, that they can come to me. They can use my platform. We'll get the news out that the fake news media won't get out. They can contact me on andyheasy.life. I'm on Twitter, I'm on Gab, I'm on Instagram.
To be honest with you, all of the death certificates they're writing COVID on, all of the death certificates, whether they had a positive test, whether they didn't. So I think, you know, again, this is my personal opinion. I think, like, the mayor in our city, they're looking for federal funding, and the more they put COVID on a death certificate, the more they can ask for federal funds. So I think it's political. So I'm going to turn around and say, you know, like, not everybody that we have here that has COVID on a death certificate died of COVID. Can I prove that? No, but that is my suspicion.
So you think that they're just putting it on everyone who's dying?
They're putting it on everybody's death certificate to make life easier for them, because, like, the causes of death get proved right away. If you write COVID, I mean, listen, they're just pushing things out because they're overwhelmed, and it's just easier to write COVID on everything. That's my opinion.
So this isn't, like, we're not the first case of this happening?
Absolutely not.
How often do you think this has happened?
Quite a lot.
So you've seen, like...
I couldn't give you a number, but quite a lot.
Okay. So you've seen other families at your funeral home?
Absolutely. I've seen causes. I've seen people, you know, say COVID in families that somebody never tested. We don't know. And they're writing it anyway. Because if, you know what, the law allows them, like, if it's in their medical opinion, it allows them to write it. So they don't even have to prove it.
So do you think that they're doing it to help the mayor, or...?
No, I think they're doing it to help the mayor. I think the mayor is ordering it from down, because the more deaths that they report from COVID, the more money they can go and ask the federal government for. They put 100 COVID, I'm going to tell you all 100 people didn't have COVID. How can I tell you what percentage? No, but I can tell you this is what they're doing.
And they're not even testing these people for COVID.
They're not even testing these people. If the doctor thinks you had COVID, he's allowed to write it down. You asked the question, I'm going to give you the answer. I'm sorry if the answer may not be what you want to hear, but I'll apologize for that. I'm not going to lie to people.
Mike Lanza was not the only funeral director we heard this story from. His observations were shared by many.
All putting COVID on a lot of death certificates because people that are going to their hospital, any kind of respiratory distress, respiratory problems, pneumonia, the flu-like symptoms lead into a COVID-19.
Sure.
So, you know, it's hard for them to put their finger on it.
So just to be safe, I guess that's my confusion, is if he dies, he's got a heart condition, but they're going
to
say...
To me, all you're doing is you're padding statistics. You know, you're putting people on that have COVID-19. If they didn't have it, you're making the death rate for New York City a lot higher than it should be. A lot of people have been dying at home, okay? And the problem is the medical examiner, if you had a private doctor, the medical examiner would speak to the private doctor over the phone, clear it up, bing, bang, it's all done. But now if you don't have a private doctor and you aren't under any medical care, they're automatically putting down on the death certificate COVID-19 because they don't want to go. They're so overwhelmed, A, and B, they're not going out to houses anymore. They would go out to the house. They would investigate the scene. They would do some, you know, testing at the scene and then come up with a conclusion as to he had heart disease. But now they're putting everything as COVID-19, so they're padding the numbers that are making it look like, you know, yes, we do have a lot of deaths. I'm not going to say we have been overwhelmed with them. But you start to say how many of them are actually COVID-19, or are the ME just putting it because they don't want to go to the scene?
Okay. Because my sister was...
I had a 40-year-old man that died in his house, okay? They didn't even go to the house. The guy had no underlying causes, no medical conditions. They released him from the house without even going, saying he had COVID-19 because he had a fever. But now, how do you know that's what he had? You don't. But now your death certificate shows he had COVID-19.
The guy that I just buried, I just came back a little while ago from Long Island National Cemetery. When they called me from the nursing home, I said, did Raymond have COVID-19? He said, oh, no, it was variants of drive, but we're assuming they all have it. I'm grandma wanted to assume that when I wanted them all in the hospital, she had no answer. I can't answer you, she said. They put down on Raymond's death certificate. He didn't have COVID-19.
Wow. Oh my, who's this woman?
I was at a nursing hospital in Dutchess County.
Wow. And they're just assuming just because...
Because a couple of people had it, so everybody has it now.
I just wonder what the point of that is.
I know, but, you know, there's no way to prove it because they put it down and the person was not autopsied. You don't know. I had one that was autopsied because he was furious. And I don't know who the Supreme Court Justice is, but the Supreme Court Justice was related to this family. And he says, I know my sister didn't die of COVID-19. She said she had Alzheimer's and they didn't suction her. You have to suction because they forget how to swallow. And right away they put down COVID-19 on her. Death certificate, and this Supreme Court Justice, whoever it is, contacted the hospital. They did an independent autopsy. Bingo, no COVID-19.
Okay, so this is a case where someone was said to have had it, and then afterwards they checked, no COVID-19.
Because the sister refused to believe that her sister had COVID-19, and like I said, she was the one who said to me. He says, well, my cousin is, you know, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, and I'm going to contact, and we're going to get an autopsy, and you do what you got to do, you know. And she did what she has to do, and sure enough, I called her, and I said to her, the doctor signed the death certificate, did the autopsy, no COVID-19.
So this guy made, like, a special call for the autopsy, Chief Supreme Court Justice guy. Wow.
Basically, every scenario that comes across our desk now has COVID on it. Even if people aren't tested, if they have a cough and they have a flu symptom,